Thank you. Let's take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we'll be spending most of our time there. We'll be starting around verse number 30. But change, it's not such a welcoming word. We get comfortable in our settings, what's going on around us. We get comfortable knowing the people around us will always be there for us. Or we can always turn to so-and-so for help. I think of my family and my situation with my mom. There's some changes coming in my life. I won't be able to pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Mom, how's it going?" I don't know when that's going to happen, but I know it's coming soon. We have a pastor who we've looked to for many years, and he's not able to be here tonight due to health. There's coming a time, he's already in a semi-retired status, and we're going to have someone else filling this pulpit. There are changes that we're looking ahead to. And they can be intimidating. I know at work, we're looking at changing software. Always a wonderful thing for those who deal with computers. And not just one piece of software, but possibly all the software I use is going to be changing in the next year. And in the meantime, we have two people who are looking to retire. Do they want to learn a new system before they retire, or just retire early? And then we're sitting there like, what do we do now? We've lost half of our estimating department. Changes are everywhere. Some changes are good. Some changes help us grow. Some changes hurt us. And tonight, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at some change that has happened in a man we know as Peter. Let's look in verse number 30, Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. It says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Backstory, Jesus has been there. We've had the Last Supper. Jesus has told the disciples, one of you is going to betray me. They know something's going on. What? They don't quite understand. They sang a hymn, and Jesus and 11 disciples go out into the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Jesus has given them an idea. You know what? The shepherd is going to be killed. And the sheep are going to be scattered. It's a fulfillment of prophecy from Zechariah. Jesus tells them all. See that in verse 31? All ye shall be offended. How would you like to be sitting there, standing there, listening to that? All of us? You mean even Peter and James and John, your closest disciples, the inner circle, they're going to be offended by you? Peter takes this pretty personally. And he answers in verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And it's not going to happen, Lord. I love you too much. It's not going to happen. I will not be offended. And Jesus looks at him and says, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Okay. Peter, you're all going to abandon me at one point tonight. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. You've seen prophecies fulfilled throughout your entire time with me. This is another one that has to be fulfilled. And it's going to happen. Oh, no, not me. Peter says, and Jesus turns to him and says, this night, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, also said all the disciples. Peter's not alone in this. We think of Peter, oh yeah, he says, Lord, I'm not going to deny thee. It can't be me. And we think of just Peter saying that. But it's not just Peter. It's all of his disciples. No, we won't do that, Lord. We'll stay with you. We'll be by your side. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. All right, Jesus has left the majority of his disciples, and he took his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. He says, come with me a little bit farther. I need to tell you a little bit more of what's going on. And he says to Peter, James, and John, I'm sorrowful unto death. Back in verse 31, he had said that the shepherd was going to be slain that night. It's coming. Guys, watch with me. Continuing, verse 39, he went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So he goes off and he prays, and he comes back. In verse 40, he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? All right, it's only been an hour, Peter. I went off to pray. I told you to stay here and watch. That word watch means to stay awake, to stay alert, to be aware of what's going on around you. Peter, I told you I'm going to be slain. I've told you you're going to deny me 3 times. Watch. Be aware. Be ready. And when Jesus comes back, he finds him asleep. He has not listened to what Jesus has said. He has not obeyed. You know, we get comfortable. We know things are coming. But it's not yet. We have time. We can wait, right? We can get a little bit of a nap. Jesus says to watch. Be alert. Verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. What is it Jesus told his disciples to do? He told them to watch and to pray. This word, watch, means to be vigilant. Not just awake. Yes, it means to be awake, but it means to be alert. Know what is going on. Be aware of what's around you. I think of Gideon when he's there with his men ready to go fight the Midianites, and he's down to couple thousand men, and he takes them down to the brook and has them drink, and he watches over them to see what's going on. Who is alert? Who is ready? And the Lord tells them which ones to pick out. They're watchful. Last week, Nate Moss was preaching in Ezra, and he mentioned very briefly, he skimmed over it, but in Ezra, do I have that? Chapter 8, Ezra has given these golden items for the temple that they're building and stuff. He's given them a lot of gold and silver and stuff. And he says, take this into Babylon. But he doesn't say take. He says, "Watch ye and keep them until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers of Israel in Jerusalem, or at Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord." Men, you are responsible for these goods. You need to be watchful. There are people out there who are trying to steal that from you. There are people within you who, like Achan, would want to take it all for themselves and keep it. You are responsible. I'm trusting you with this. Watch. We have in Nehemiah, there's Sanballat and Tobiah, and they raise up a defense against Nehemiah and his men who are rebuilding the wall. And Nehemiah encourages the men, stand watch. Be ready. Don't stop the work, but be ready for what's to come. We know there's something coming and something going on. That's the idea of this word watch. Be ready. Be alert. But don't just be alert and be ready. Be in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, we have the armor of God. And a lot of times we stop and we forget verse 18. And what does verse 18 say in Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Pray and watch. Part of our armor of God. What are some things we should be watching for? Well, Matthew 26:41, we see it says, "Watch and pray that ye fall not into temptation." We should be watching and praying that we personally don't fall into temptation. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. "Therefore, watch and remember." Watch and remember the things that you have learned. 1 Corinthians 16:13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." Colossians 4:2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians 5:6, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." What should we pray for? We should pray for laborers. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." We need to pray for the Lord to send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, God has given us all the Great Commission. That's not just to his disciples. That's not to pastors. That's to all believers. To go forth, to be a witness and a testimony for him, to preach and to teach. Matthew 9, verse 38 says, "To pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We have missionaries. If you look at our list of missionaries, how many of them are pushing retirement age, have been on the field for many years, and how many of them are just beginning? Where do we see those laborers to fill in the gaps? It comes from the generation today. My generation, the generation after me, we need to take up that command to go forth and to fill in, to be laborers. We need to pray for others. I know I'm going through some things, but I know each one of you have different things you are going through. Maybe it's family issues. Maybe it's emotional things. Maybe it's financial, health. There's a lot of things we're going through. There's changes in jobs. Malachi 1:9 says, "And now I pray you, beseech God that he would be gracious unto us." 1 Thessalonians 5:25, "Brethren, pray for us." 1 Thessalonians 1:11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Hebrews 13:18, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." And James 5:16, "Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Pray that ye fall not into sin. Mark 13:33, "Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." We know in 1 Peter, he mentions about the devil walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We are prey to the lion if we're not watchful. But if we're alert, we're ready to stand fast and to stand strong. His attacks can be fought off with the armor of God by standing firm and resisting him. 2 Corinthians 13:7, Paul writes, "Now I pray to God that ye do no evil." That ye do no evil? And then he continues, "Not that we should appear approved, not that we're being justified by our works and what we're doing, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be reprobates." Remember, we are sinners, saved by God. But we should strive to do what he wants us to be doing and to obey him, to follow him. When should we be praying? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Ephesians 6:8, I mentioned before, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication." Colossians 1:3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." As the Lord brings things to mind, you don't have to wait until your daily devotion time or your daily prayer time. "Oh, wait, I need to mark that down so I remember to pray for them later." No, pray for them as the Lord brings them to mind. Be ready always. As temptation, as you see Satan bring temptations and trials to you, pray. Be ready always to pray. Jesus has told the disciples to watch and to pray. Then he returns, verse 43. Jesus has set the example. He's gone off and he's been praying. He's been alert. He knows what's going on. He returns in verse 43 and says, "He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." All right, Jesus has set the example. He's given them, "This is what I want you to be doing." He comes back and finds them asleep. Verse 45, "Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." He lets them sleep on. It's time for Judas and the scribes and Pharisees and the elders of the city with their soldiers to come forth. Jesus says, "Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast." And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Jesus knows the time is at hand. There have been multiple times previously where they've come and they've tried to take him, throw him over the cliff, try to bind him up, and he escapes out of their hold. This time is different. It is the appointed time. And behold, verse 51, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Guess who that was? John tells us it's Peter. What's Peter doing? Oh, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to defend you as much as I can in the flesh. I can do this in my own power. I didn't need to pray, Lord. See, I can defend you. Imagine his thoughts when Jesus bends down, picks up the ear, and puts it back on, and tells Peter to put up his sword. Do you think that was offensive to Peter? I stood up to defend you, Lord. And now you're telling me I shouldn't? Verse 52, then Jesus said unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Jesus says, this is what scripture says. It must happen. I told you earlier, the shepherd's going to be slain. The sheep are going to be scattered abroad. It's going to happen. It is time. In that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, he turns to the other people, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. The end of verse 56, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They all ran away. Peter, James, John, all left him. Well, what are they going to do? Peter stood up to defend them, and Jesus picks up the ear and says, Peter, put away your sword. What else am I to do, Lord? And they all left. The man they wanted was Jesus anyways. Now, we know from Scripture that they didn't just run away and never come back. Because we see Peter and John, who eventually returned to the high priest's house. Verse 57, they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. Jesus is coming to trial before the priests. And they start bringing people to lie about his character. And they can't find anyone. Finally, they find someone who says, yeah, he said he can rebuild the temple in 3 days. And Jesus holds his peace. He's been spending the evening in prayer. He's watchful. He knows what's going to go on. He's ready. He holds his peace. It's not time for him to respond. His response would do no good because they were so angry and so much against him. And the high priest in verse 63 answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You said it. But not only that, you're going to see me one day, sitting on the right hand of God the Father. You know, there's coming a day when everyone, saved and unsaved, will stand before God in heaven. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready to appear with Jesus' blood shed over you, covering your sins? Or are you going to stand before God with all your sins exposed, nothing covering? The high priest rends his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. They did spit in his face and buffeted him. Others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Now they're starting to be physically abusive to Jesus. And again, he takes it silently. He has been prepared through his prayer, his time with the Lord, with God. However, we turn and look at Peter in verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came to him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. The temptation for Peter came at a time when he didn't expect it. He wasn't watchful. He was expecting some type of physical fight, and he was ready for that earlier. And then he was offended at Jesus by telling him to put away his sword. Now he's sitting there, and they're lying about Jesus and trying to crucify him. You've seen him beaten and hit, spit upon. And people are saying, Wait, aren't you one of his disciples? Weren't you with Jesus? It's so easy to just ignore it. To not stand up and speak up and say, No, yes, I was with Jesus, and he is the Son of God. You know, that's hard. Depending on your place of business and who you're dealing with, maybe your neighbors, are we timid to stand up and say, You know what? Jesus is God. He is the only way. It was difficult for Peter, and he denied God. He denied Jesus three times. He was not alert, wasn't paying attention. He had not spent time preparing his heart and being ready to stand strong in temptation. Then we see his remorse in verse 75. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Many times in life, we remember our failures and not our successes. I can't tell you much about my education in high school, but I know one thing. On my physics exam, I loved physics. I'm a math guy, especially physics type stuff. And that was my favorite subject. I sit in at my final exam, and I go through the test. I get to the very end, and there's a bonus question. I like bonus questions, because then I could get above 100 on these tests. And I filled it out. I turned in my paper. Next day, I get my test back, 100. What did I miss? I know I got the bonus right. I know I got everything right, and I looked through it. All the answers are right. But in the bonus, there's a little SP. Do you know what SP stands for when you're grading? Spelling. Is this physics, not English class, not spelling class? What word did I misspell? Well, I grew up in Abeka phonics. You know, you learn the sounds and how to spell them out. Well, there's a little word that doesn't follow phonetic rules. Of. O-F. I spelled it O-V-E. And I missed the problem. Not that the answer was wrong, but I misspelled that word. And he took off. He says, you need to be careful with what you do. I remember that to this day. How about Peter? Do you think he remembered this? Let's turn now to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Ooh, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? Christ suffering? Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What mind did Jesus have? Watch unto prayer is what he told Peter and the disciples. Arm yourselves with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We go down to verse number 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I think he learned his lesson. It was a difficult one. There was a lot that Peter had to go through between the crucifixion of Jesus and writing 1 Peter. But there was a lesson he didn't forget. Watch unto prayer. We see it in verse 19 of the same chapter. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. You can't do it in the flesh. You have to depend on the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Yes, the devil's out there. He's seeking to destroy. But stand strong in the power of the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on God. And then in 2 Peter, actually, chapter 2, verse 9, he says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Rely upon the Lord. Rely upon God. He is the one who will give you deliverance. As we as a church are going through this time of transition, there will be changes. We will have a new pastor. We don't know who that's going to be. We don't know his personality. We don't know his strengths or his weaknesses. What can we do to prepare ourselves for this time? Well, what did Jesus tell Peter? Watch and pray. We need to be watchful, aware of what is around us. Don't get comfortable. Be aware of false doctrine, but also be aware of maybe some changes that we need to make. The disciples looked to Peter as a leader among them because many of them followed after his leading. He didn't always lead in the right manner. And they had to be careful of what they chose to follow after. God doesn't want us to just sit and wait with the potential to fall asleep. He wants us to be vigilant, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Peter warns us in 2 Peter 1 to keep the things of God in remembrance, that we don't follow those who cunningly devise fables. 2 Peter 2, we need to be aware of false prophets, teachers denying the Lord that bought them, evil speaking of the truth, covetousness. Shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you? Beware of them that walk after the flesh, presumptuous, self-willed. Beware of scoffers. But not only do we need to be watchful, I feel sometimes when we're watchful, we become critical. And we look to nitpick and find everything we can find wrong with someone and say, oh, we can't associate with them. They do this. You know, if we look closely at our own lives, there's things that we would have to stay away from ourselves too. We need to be watchful, but also be helpful. I think of Apollos with Aquila and Priscilla. Was there things wrong with Apollos' doctrine? Yes. Did it come because he was intentionally trying to deceive people? No. It was coming from ignorance. And he was humble and able to learn and to grow by listening to truth that Priscilla and Aquila had talked to him about. And he was able to become a dynamic influence there in the early church. Not only be watchful, though, let's pray. Let's pray for our pastor that he will remain faithful to the end. Pray for our incoming pastor that the Lord would protect him from evil, that he would hold to the truth, and that he would be humble, willing to serve, that he would know how to discern truth and to feed the flock. Pray for our elders and the pulpit committee. Let's turn one more place, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 will be in verse 18. No. Is that the passage? I don't think so. Well, yeah, Acts chapter 20. Verse 28. I have it as 18. That's why I'm messed up. Acts chapter 20, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. Luke is writing here to talking about Paul and talking to the elders of the church. He says, take heed thereunto, or therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Be aware. Pray for your elders and leaders in the church to be aware that we would continue to serve and feed the flock. And in verse 36, well, we saw in verse 31 to watch, in verse 36 it says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Another example of watching and praying. Pray for our elders that God would give them discernment in evaluating candidates and holding true to God's word, however long that takes. That we would be patient and humble, ready to serve as needed to assist in the ministry with feeding the flock. That we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. That we would remain faithful to God. And that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And finally, pray for one another. That we would be loving one another. That we would have patience through times of change. That we would seek to please the Lord and serve him with the abilities and talents he has given us. That we would be watchful, not critical, but discerning, to recognize change that will help us grow closer to God, not farther away. We are one body in Christ. We need to do our part by praying and watching to bring glory to God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons and truths it has to teach us. I pray that we would learn by listening and learning from your scriptures, and not just by experience and, like Peter, failing. Help us to be watchful. Help us to be loving one to another. And help us to be constantly in prayer through the changes and things that you bring us through. We thank you for this church and the love they have one for another. Help us to remain faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.